This edition of Nation Talk is being brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together. Hi, and welcome to another very special edition of NationTalk.ca. Today I have with me Christina Davis. Christina's sister is one of the victims of the reason why we're here in Allen Gardens this evening at the Sisters in Spirit Vigil. Christina, you spoke very passionately. I just want to say McGwich to you for taking the time to sit with us and talk about this very, very important issue, especially to you and to your heart.
Well, thank you for allowing me to honor my sister today. I didn't really get a good opportunity to be there for her funeral and the passing of my nephew because I'm in Toronto and she's in Winnipeg, and financially it wasn't just fit, so I didn't really get to mourn her and honor her like I really wanted to. And Sisters in Spirit, I thought, would be the best place for me to honor her and voice for her. You know, she's with me today, and I felt it all day. I seen an eagle this morning, and I knew that was my sister, and she's happy and she's content, and this is helping me heal just talking about her. I'm mourning her finally. It's been 7 months, and I've been trying to be strong for our family and be the strong person and holding together the family, because everybody's devastated back home of what happened to her. So, you know, I guess it's my time to heal now. And I know she wants that for me. So I've been kind of emotional all day, but that's what she wants. Like, crying is healing. So, yeah.
Now, did you come from a large family, or how many brothers and sisters?
Well, I have 4 brothers and 3 sisters. I actually am in recovery right now. I'm 2 years clean and sober. That's the reason why I left back home to put my life together. I have 6 children that I am fighting for right now to get back. And Caroline would have wanted, she wanted this for me.
So, did Caroline have struggles of her own?
Yeah, she did. She lived a high-risk lifestyle. And in the media, when she went missing, nobody really took it seriously because the Winnipeg police didn't really take it seriously because she lived a high-risk lifestyle, as they said. But, you know, she was battling her addiction of drugs, and she was pregnant, and she wanted different. She wanted change. She just didn't know how to get it or where to go for it.
You know? So often it seems in these cases of the murdered and missing women, the economic and social situation often pushes them into situations where they don't want to be there.
Yeah, that's exactly true. She didn't want to be there. Who wants to live that life? Nobody wants it. I didn't want it. That's all we knew. You know, we were broken and we were lost. And all of my family members are currently struggling with addiction problems, and they're trying to heal from the generational impact of residential schools that my grandma was in. And I feel like I'm going to be the power of example for my family, and I'm going to be the voice, and I'm going to speak up for my sister. And I've taken my life back, and I just hope that other girls that can relate to my story, I can help. My overall goal is to be a Chiwetum, which is a traditional counselor. So I'm getting ready to go to school for that, and I know that my family will see that, and they can start their healing process. You know, just being the power of example, being the one person that's solid and knows what she wants and what she's doing, and that's me, and that's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to teach my daughter and teach young children that it's okay when they're hurt, and it's okay that we make mistakes and we use drugs and we drink alcohol and, you know, we run the streets. It's understandable, you know, and there's help. There's help out there, because I got help. And if I can do it, anybody can, because I was pretty down there.
Now, here we are in Allen Gardens, you know. How did you feel standing in front of that crowd? There's quite a few hundred people here. This is quite a very special and solemn occasion. How did it feel for you to have that voice up there in front of all these supportive people?
It felt amazing. It's part of my healing, and this is part of my recovery, being able to get my voice back. I've taken my life back from the battle of addiction and broken homes. I feel honored, and I'm so proud of myself that I actually went up there and did that, because I don't usually, I'm nervous and I get anxiety, and I didn't think I can do it, but my sister was here with me, and she kept telling me, do it, Christina, because I was procrastinating. No, I'm not going to do it. No, it's too scary. I'm going to start crying. I didn't even shed a tear, but if I did, that would have been fine, but she was keeping me strong. She was there with me.
Now, when Caroline went missing, was she missing for a very long period of time?
She went missing December 2011. She was 5 months pregnant. She occasionally went off for a while, MIA, missing in action. But after she didn't come for Christmas, we knew something was wrong. She didn't come check on her son, who her mother, because we have different moms. She didn't come check on him. So we put out on Facebook and out in the media that she was missing. They found her wrapped up in plastic in a dumpster with my nephew inside of her still, 3 months after that. And
did you feel like the response from the police and from the public was what it should have been?
Not at all. Not at all. They portrayed her as living a high-risk lifestyle, so they kind of just, oh, she'll come around. She's just a drug addict. She's a prostitute. And we knew that something was wrong, and we pushed and we pushed. And they found her. But the one thing out of this story I can say is the perpetrator has been caught. He is actually in prison. I can't remember his name. I don't care to know his name. But he's from Ontario, and he's a truck driver. And they have actually linked him to 3 murders out west in Winnipeg. And I have another friend of mine, Tanya Nipinak, that they're currently looking landfills, dumpsters for her. He's admitted to the murder of her, but we can't find her body. And I would just like to put that out there. Tanya Nipinak, she's another young Aboriginal woman, you know, that lived a high-risk lifestyle, and she was our friend, and she was Caroline's friend, she was my friend, and they're trying to find her to put her at rest, her body. They haven't found her yet, though.
I must say that, you know, you exhibit an extraordinary amount of strength and bravery at the loss that you've had in your life. Is there anything that you think that the public in this country could do that could help with your healing and with the healing of all the families and the aunties and cookums and uncles and brothers and sisters out there who have lost so much?
I feel like the media and the police services can take it more seriously. They seem to... I'm not one to blame people for anything, but we're not priority cases, us Aboriginal women that do live high-risk lifestyles. When we're missing, they don't take it as serious as if somebody else that wasn't Aboriginal, maybe a young girl, you know, maybe a white girl, a Asian girl, they take that, it seems like they take those cases more serious. And I feel like my family and all the other families that are missing, that they have daughters or sisters that are missing, we need to step up, and we need to have a voice for them. And we need to make the media and the police services and the community know that we want to find our sisters and our mothers. We want to find them. They deserve to be found. It doesn't matter if we live a high-risk lifestyle. We're still human beings. We're still mothers, daughters, sisters, nieces, you know what I mean? And we deserve it. We deserve to be taken seriously. When there's a missing case, it should be priority.
Christina, is there anything else you want to say? The beautiful sound of the drumming in the background. Here we are at Allen Gardens at the Sisters in Spirit Vigil. I know that there's over 160 communities across the country today and this evening that are in the same process, the healing process, the reaching out to all Canadians and saying, hey, wake up. There's a crisis here in this country, and no one's paying attention. Is there any last words that you would like to say to all of our listeners?
I would just like to say, just to keep these women, our sisters in spirit, in our minds, and just the prayers for our families, you know, like me and my family and all the other families that are looking for their children, their daughters, to just to pray for them, that we find them and we can bring them home, because they deserve it. They deserve to be, you know, put to rest with their families. And I just like to thank Native Women's Resource Center for helping organize this. I am actually currently doing volunteering over there. I'm getting back into the community, and and trying to give back because I've taken so much in my lifestyle, my addictions, and I'm giving back now, and I just like to say thank you to them, especially for putting this together.
And I just want to say Chi Magwitch to you, Christina Davis. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here on Nation Talk. Chi Magwitch.
Magwitch, thank you.
This edition of Nation Talk has been brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.